Summer can be a time where you go far and travel in different places, but how do you get close to God? And whether you've been a believer for a long time or maybe you're just exploring and checking things out, that you're there's something about in a relationship with God when you get close to him that it's electric. That when you draw close to God, something happens. There's a promise in Scripture that when you get close to God, it's like nothing else. And so whether you've experienced that or you've yet to experience that, we're going to go on a little journey this morning. And how do we get closer to God? And so, last 15 years of my life, I've lived in San Diego. And San Diego is just a beautiful city. And whenever my wife and I would travel, we would go and we would share that, like, oh yeah, we're from San Diego. And people would be like, what are you doing here? You know, why I love San Diego. Why are you here? We spend a lot of money to go to visit you. And what my wife and I would often do, I mean, we would just be at certain beaches and be there. And Orange County is beautiful, too. There's so many beautiful places that we're coming to love. But we would be at a spot and just be like, man, people fly all over the world just to be here. And it's a few moments from our house. And so there's something about traveling out. But what the scriptures say, you actually have the best vacation. You have the best here, and that's God's Holy Spirit. God promises to be with us. And so what we want to do is explore, how do we draw close to God? How do we experience some of this? So we're going to go on a little journey this morning, and it's going to be right here at Wilshire. If you have your notes out, pull those out. We are going to talk about the first thing. If we're going to draw close to God, if we're going to go to God, there's one basic step that we need to start with. And that first step, if you're taking notes, is go to God with honest and real emotions. Go to God with honest and real emotions. Because what we can often do in a relationship is wear masks. And we can tell ourselves, we can approach God and say, everything's fine. My wife and I, Jamie, we have a friend this week that posted this picture. And just her and her kids at Disneyland. And I mean, it's just one of these adorable pictures. Like the two little boys, they've got like the Mickey Mouse ice creams. And you know, you almost see like the glitter and the glow in the boys' eyes and just like the joy. And she's smiling with them and just, you know, happiest place on earth. And she has her boys. And I mean, can you imagine? There's just this scene of like pure joy. And she puts at the bottom, happiest place on earth. Says, but this day was terrible. She said, my boys were a wreck. They were screaming. They were crying. She says, this picture looks happy, but it was only like for a split second I shot this pic. And I mean, they were just a wreck. They were a disaster. And so I reached out to her and just said, man, I appreciate your honesty. And just because we do this, if you're taking notes, don't Instagram with God. You know, we put up a picture of, hey, this is my life, this is how things are going, but here's how they really are. We don't need to do that with God. Don't play the Insta game with God. Go to God as you are. So as you spend time with God this summer, come as you are, with real, with honest emotions. I love an example that we have of this in scriptures. In the Old Testament, we'll have it up on the screen, Lamentations 3. It's almost towards the New Testament if you open up your Bible a little off to the right from the middle. And Lamentations is this, to give you a little background of this text. Lamentation is probably written by the prophet Jeremiah. And this, he's writing around the time of about 580 BC. And he's writing it during the time, either during or after the fall of Jerusalem. And so if you're like, man, I did not study history. I did not. You'll be okay. But I just want to set a little context for this. So, and here's what's going on. Jerusalem has been unfaithful. God's people, God's chosen people have not been faithful to God. And so because of some of their actions, there's has negative consequences for this. And so reading here from Lamentations 3, you can find it on the screen. We also have our big blues in the pews. Grab one of those. If you don't have a Bible, I encourage you to take one of those and take it home with you. It's our gift to you. So it says this, The writer says, verse 1, I'm a man who has seen affliction. By the rod of the Lord's wrath, he has driven me away and made me walk in darkness rather than light. Indeed, he has turned his hand against me again and again all day long. He has made my skin and my flesh grow old and has broken my bones. He has besieged me and surrounded me with bitterness and hardship. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. How's that for flowery language? Right there, he says that. He has made me dwell in darkness like those long dead. I mean, it just continues. He says, he has walled me in so I cannot escape. He has weighed me in. He goes on to say that I cry for help, but he shuts out my prayers. And he's just talking about this waiting, and he continues to go on. And he says, and he goes on, I was once prosperous, but no longer. So this whole book is called Lamentations. It's a lament. It's a cry. And I mean, I don't know whether you've grown up in church or maybe your experience is showing up. It's pretty interesting that something like this is in the Bible, isn't it? It's raw. It's honest. It's a real conversation. And it's directed to God. And it, I mean, it says, he has made me. God has done this. He's expressing how the writer feels what God has done. Now, there's something in scriptures we'll see that God is always good. And God, yes, disciplines us, but he does that for our greater good. But what you find here in Jeremiah, as he's writing in Lamentations, he isn't just saying everything's good. Everything's great. You know, Dr. Gottman, he's a therapist who has done studies for over 40 years, and he studied relationships. He studied marriages, and he began to try and figure out what makes marriages tick. And one of the things that he found was a key foundation of all of this was trust, and not being able to build trust in a relationship. And the way trust is not built, if one person in a relationship is fake, if one person in a relationship just says, oh, things are fine, and they never actually really dive into issues and never really share how they're feeling. So maybe even as an aside, are you in a relationship? And maybe there's times for truth, and there's times for, hey, things aren't going well. But as the scriptures say, to handle all these things with grace and truth. Because truth alone can just be harshness. You can tell somebody the truth, but just be a jerk, right? But season it. Flavor it with grace. To be kind when you share these things. But God allows us, so as we draw near to God, he wants our real hearts and he wants our emotions. Because you know, some of these studies show that couples, when they're together, and if they just get in the routine and the habit of just saying, I love you, but never really mean it, or they just kind of say, I love you out of habit, that they will grow farther and farther apart. And the studies show they'll actually come to resent each other and not share their true emotions and feelings, and just hold up this bitterness, which creates kind of a chasm between the two. I believe that same thing happens in our relationship with God. And I don't know sometimes where that comes from. I think it stems out of we understand who God is. He's holy, and so we want to respect him, and yet we don't bring our real and honest emotions. I hope you see, it's a book in the Bible. If you look at the prayers in the Psalms, they're just real honest emotions. God, why are you doing this? What is this going on? What is going on in my life? Know this as an aside, that God will never waste pain in your life. God is always using it for something. Maybe he's correcting you, or maybe he's trying to grow you. But it doesn't help in your relationship if you just put on a smile. If you show up Sunday morning and just say, I love you, God, but you haven't been real with him during the week. Maybe even sometimes when you come to church, be real with God. Just sit down and say, God, as you begin to worship, I'm going to worship you, but right now, I'm just not in a good place. Do you sometimes try to protect God? Do you try and keep God from your real emotions and feelings? I mean, think about how silly it sounds, right? Does God need to be protected? Yeah, I do this sometimes. I don't really share with God how I feel because I want to respect him. But there's a way to respect God, to honor him, and just tell it like it is. the Instagram photo. Hey, we don't need to show God one thing and then say, man, well, this is what I really feel. Come to God as you are with real and honest emotions. God can handle it. He can handle your pain. He can handle how you're really thinking. So I encourage you to go to him even this week to do that. Second thing I want us to talk about is we go to God. Go to God, if you're taking notes on the second point, go to God and stay for a meal. I'll explain that in just a moment. Go to God and stay for a meal. Imagine this. Imagine, let's say you and I, we're going out and we're going to go for a coffee and get to know each other. Some of you are like, I don't want to get to know you. All right, fine. So we're going out, we're going for a coffee, and we sit down, and imagine this. Imagine I say, all right, I've got 5 minutes. I want you to give me 20 facts, and I'll give you 20 facts about me. Go. Download. All right, see ya. Boom, and I'm out. How well would I know you? I mean, I could find out where you were born, what you, like, all your family members' names, all these different things, yet I wouldn't know you. And I can give you facts about me, but you wouldn't really know the way I think, the way I feel. Yet, sometimes don't we do that with God? We approach God maybe on Sunday and maybe throughout the week, even as we, and I encourage you to get into his word. His word is good. It's God speaking to us. Yet sometimes we approach it just looking for facts. And God says, Jesus says, I actually want to sit down with you. I want to have a meal with you. I want to get to know you. I mean, imagine sometimes this, in the next 4 weeks, we're going to look at the book of Jonah. And Jonah's this Old Testament story, just an amazing story. And we're going to look at how you actually see Jesus in the Old Testament and explore some of this. And so I'm excited. I hope you join us on that journey in the next 4 weeks. But imagine that. Imagine sometimes we do this when we pick up the Bible, when we read, especially if you've been a Christian for a little bit, you say, all right, I'm going to read 2 chapters a day, 3 chapters a day. It would be like sitting down with somebody for coffee and say, oh, yeah, tell me that one story, but I don't want to hear the beginning. I don't want to hear the end. Just tell me 2 minutes of the middle. Okay, I got it, and then leave. It'd be weird, wouldn't it? Yet, we do this often with God. We say, well, I'll give you 2 chapters today, God. And it's in the middle of something, and it doesn't make sense. God says, I want to sit down with you. I want to have a meal with you. I want to, for me, it would be a coffee. I love I've often used, in my mind, I love coffee. And just the smell of it, the aroma, coffee shops. For me, it would be go to God and have a coffee. Have a sweet, just coffee date with God. Sit down with him. Smell just the good smell of coffee. Enjoy it. Sip it. Sit down with God as you read scripture. I encourage you, if we're going to go in Jonah, it's 4 chapters. Read Jonah. Beginning to end, and find times, and if you have to pick up, you know, if you don't even have that much time in your day, which I think it only takes like 5, 10, 15 minutes to do that, if you don't have that, I encourage you to spend whatever your time is, say, all right, God, I have it on my calendar, I have a 10-minute coffee date with God this morning, and to spend that time. Don't just look at it as chapters. I need this. Just spend some sweet time with God, but I encourage you to read Jonah. Read it time and time again, beginning to end, and hear this conversation that God wants to pull you in. Do that with other books in the Bible. Read it through and just kind of soak it in and marinate it. I want you this week, if you will, to try some new ways, just to find creative ways and to spend some time in worship. You know, maybe it's worshiping him, put on Spotify. You know, put on some good music, you know, listen to Amir and the band. Find different ways to just spend some sweet time and do so, try a fresh new way. That same way I was talking about in relationships with spouses, when you just constantly say, I love you, but you don't try something new, you get in a rut. Try something new this week with God in your worship, in your reading. I want you to venture out and try something and just do something out of the ordinary. I don't know what that looks like for you, but try it, okay? So here's what I want us to look at in the third point. Let's go over, we're going to go over John 15. So we're talking about going. We want to go to God. We'll be in the New Testament, John 15. But here's the third point, if you're taking notes. Go to God in loving obedience. Go to God in loving obedience. Now, whether you're new in church or maybe you've been here for a while, this idea of obedience can sometimes rub us the wrong way, doesn't it? That we can think of God as just this cold, sterile person saying, do this, do this, do this. But what I want us to maybe rethink and kind of shift some of our paradigms and how we think and approach God is that maybe we would see that this is actually, obedience is an opportunity for a deep connection with God. This is a way for us to actually get closer. And let me say, Jesus, whether we count Jesus as God or we're just as a man, historically we have what Jesus says here in his word in John 15. We'll have it up on the screen. And it says this, verse 5. Jesus says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. But if you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be given to you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. It continues, as the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Jesus is showing us right here that in obeying him, by remaining in him, you actually will produce a lot of fruit. You will bear much fruit. And so what he's calling us in the scripture is to be with him, and then that apart from him, he says, you can do nothing. Now, I've often wrestled with this and said, well, I can do a lot of things, but what he's talking about is, no, you can't do anything that bears any eternal significance. You can't do anything that will last beyond. You can do things, but you can do nothing without me. You can try, but if you're not with me, if you're not staying with me, if you're not drawing close to me, you're doing nothing. So Jesus says to be with him. But he says this. So if you think about obedience as sterile, let's think about it this way in this context. Think about a relationship. Often we say in a relationship, you've heard people say, your wish is my command. In a marriage, in a relationship, you actually allow the other person to influence you, don't you? You allow them to speak into your life. They give advice and input. I often say relationships, life groups, I encourage you to get in life group. Life group is often like, I always analyze it as, or coming in, you imagine a room and it's got security cameras all around you. And it's a viewpoint. It's different people looking at your life and speaking into your life. And so that's what God wants us to do. He wants other people to speak into our lives. And then when we actually get close to God, he speaks into our life. I mean, imagine, God of the universe has some ideas in how you should obey him. And more than that, God of the universe has some ideas how you should best live your life. Don't you think God might know a thing or two in how you should live? And what's good for your life? In ways that are actually going to bring joy for your life? This summer, I'm going to go on vacation with my family. I always say this. So we're bringing all the kids, the little ones. And when you bring the whole family, it's not a vacation. I call it a family trip, right? Everyone's like, oh, you're going on vacation. It's a family trip. I mean, you got a little infant. He's going to be crying. I'm not going to be sleeping. It's a family trip. I mean, how many of us do this, right? Even just on, if you get away, we go on vacation, and what do you say when you come back? I need a vacation from my vacation. There's something in our souls, right, that we don't find rest when we're trying to seek rest, yet Jesus comes and says, I want to give you true rest. I want you to remain in me, and that's actually where you're going to find real rest. You can try and find it in other ways. There's advertisements right now. Find your beach. You know, just the idea, drink the Mai Tai on the beach. But Jesus says, what if you drink the Holy Spirit? What if you drink in my goodness this summer? What if you soak that up this summer instead of just trying to feed yourself? What if you fed your soul this summer? What would your life look like? Let me boil all this down to this aspect. If you are still struggling with this idea of obedience, Jesus boils it all down. We boil it all down here at Wilshire Avenue. How do we follow God? You love God and you love people. Did you see it here in this text? Jesus says there's no greater love than to lay one's life down for another. Jesus says simply, how do you love me? You love God and you love other people. I want you this week, it's a challenge for myself as well, I want you to find a way, a creative way to love somebody in a new way. If you're married with your spouse, go ahead and do that. In your relationship, do that. But I also want you to find somebody and love them in a new and a fresh way, a creative way. Because here's what I believe is going to happen. Because we can get in stale kind of in ruts and routines. Jesus says, it's simple as this. When you love other people, you're loving God. You want your relationship with God to grow, love other people. Try something new, and I promise you, you'll be blessed. In fact, I believe it so much, I want you to do this. Write down our emails, info@wilshireav.com, or you can send me an email, rob@wilshireav.com. I want you to try something new this week, bless somebody in a new creative way, and then send me an email, send us an email, and tell what happened. Because I know there's going to be neat stories that are going to come out of it if you just try it. Make a commitment this week to try and love somebody in a fresh new way. And know that is part of your relationship with God. Love somebody that's not in your community, that's not like you, that's different than you. And try something new. Like the study that says, I love you, I love you. You can get in a rut. Find something new and love people. And God says, this is how you remain in me. You love others. You love me. And that's what he calls us, he invites us to do. But what it's often hard, it can be difficult to do, can it? Because what Jesus says, remain, he uses that verb to stay inside of my love, enter into my love. And he says, apart from me, you can do nothing. I want us to go back, flip back over to Lamentations. And we're going to kind of bring it close with this. After Jeremiah he's just laying it all out with God. He's telling God, he's mentioning everything that's going wrong. He's just laying everything out. He's going. And then in verse 19, it says this. I remember my affliction and my wandering, the bitterness and the gall. I well remember them, and yet my soul is downcast within me. Yet this I call to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. There's something about, friends, that as we enter in with our pain and our suffering, and we're just honest with God, yet the writer here says this. He says, I remember, I call this to mind, and therefore I have hope. Because of the Lord's great love, we are not consumed. Friends, what the enemy wants to do, he wants to remind you of all of the things negative. He wants to remind you of all the ways that you have failed God. Yet, if you flip back over to John 15, what Jesus ends with this, he says this, verse 14, you are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. Jesus invites us to be with him. He says, I don't call you servants anymore. I actually call you friends. I want you to come to me with your real, with your honest emotions, and I just want you to have a meal with me. And in obeying me, you will find that we're going to have great joy. But when you fail, know that you are still my friend. The promise in Scripture is that although you and I, we mess up and we get far in our relationship, that God loves us. He says, in fact, I've called you my friends. Remain in me and I will remain in you. James 4:8 says this, and it summarizes the whole sermon. If you didn't hear a single word, know this. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, draw close to God, and God will draw close to you. That God wants us, when we draw close to him, he draws close to us. Here's, friends, there's better news than this. In fact, the gospel says that Jesus, in fact, came to us. He came to us and he came close to us. Even when we went far from him, he comes close to us and then he asks us, he says, come to me, be with me, draw close to me. And then the promise on top of that, he already comes to us and then he says, I will draw close to you. God promises to be with you in your pain, in your suffering. This summer, would you be with him? Would you stay with him? Because God wants to reveal himself to you. His mercies are new every single morning. There's so much to explore, and it's in your own house. It's in your own backyard. You don't need to go anywhere. Go, travel, enjoy, find rest, relaxation. But no, God is right here, and he's present among us. His Spirit is alive and well. If you study church history, today is Pentecost Sunday. The day that we celebrate that God's Spirit came and dwelled among us. Would you be with God? Would you have a meal with him? Would you know that God draws close to you? You might feel far and maybe you're struggling with some of the sin and the consequences of the sin and they've just snowballed. Let God intervene in your life. Sit down with a meal. Enjoy him. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. God, you call us just to be with you. Lord, there's a beauty in your word that as we draw close to you, you draw near to us. Father, some of us might even be feeling right now the guilt and shame. Lord, Jerusalem's story, the story in Lamentations was that all of these people, they had disobeyed you time and time again, and they were dealing with consequences of that. Yet, Lord, every single morning, your mercies are new. Lord, some of us say, well, yeah, but I have this in my life. And you say, my mercy is new. This morning, every morning. Lord, no matter what we're wrestling with, may we take that to you. May we bring this to you, the God of the universe that has drawn near to us, that wants to be with us. May we draw near to you. Lord, may we hear that this morning. The enemy wants us to think that we are not your friends. We're reminded of all of our sorrow, of all of our pain. May you silence our hearts this morning. May we hear that you are God and that you have drawn near and want to be our friend. Our friend. May we hear your love this morning. May that be the loudest voice this summer in our hearts and our minds. May we just spend sweet time with you, Jesus, our friend, the lover of our soul. May we worship you, the God of the universe. We love you, God. Amen.